that you would speak, Lord, that you would challenge each and every one of us, Lord God, to draw closer to you, to draw nearer to you, Lord. As we enter your word, Lord God, I pray that you would breathe it over us, Lord God. Lord, we want to be drenched in your word. Lord, we want to be drenched in you. Lord, we want to be touched and changed. Lord, do that this morning, Lord God. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Grab a seat, guys. So happy to be able to share with you guys this morning on week one of our building fund. This is funny, in the pre-service meeting this morning, Sharon says, what's the title of your message? I'm thinking, building fund, hashtag week one. But I just want you guys to open the word right now to Isaiah chapter 54. We're going to be speaking out of this verse for most of the morning. There could be a number of different titles for this message: extending our reach, enlarging our tent, strengthening our stakes. Just as I started to prepare for this message, you know, there's so many things going on, so many different people involved in Building Fund, and it's just amazing how God seems to be able to bring it all together. To have one person speaking one thing and then another person just bring this same little twist to the same scripture. So we're just going to read, starting from verse 2, and it says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. I like what it says in the Message paraphrase. It says, clear lots of ground for your tents, make your tents large, spread out, think big, use plenty of rope, drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need a lot of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. I love the word stretch. Stretch is such a powerful, powerful word in so many different aspects of life. I love to cycle. Kind of. You can't really tell at the moment. I'm kind of packing on a few kilos. But cycling's one of those things where you need every aspect to line up. And we've seen it probably if you're following the Olympics at all. Our cyclists have just had like the worst luck, like crashes, broken bikes, more crashes, and just those little couple of percent all the time just are enough just to not be the best or to not quite hold when you need to hold that wheel. And, you know, when we talk about stretch in cycling, when I go out cycling with Mark Leese, we'll go out cycling. And when you're really putting the power down, it's called chewing stem. You really want to just chew the handlebars of your bike. And you kind of look just under your arm to see what the person behind you is doing. And when we normally come back from Richmond back through to Cambridge on the bike, I'm always drive it so hard. And I can just see that rubber band starting to stretch on. And I look behind and I can see Mark's wheel just slowly dropping off. And that's when you put the extra power down. But it's like that in life, isn't it, too? When things really start to stretch and things really start to get hard, is when the real challenge really starts, when the devil goes, well, now that's a pretty opportune time to come and attack. That's when I'm going to try and snap those ropes. Just like when you're on the bike, when you can see that person really struggling, you just put in that little percent more that you really don't have, but you know, that's just going to break their spirit. Life is so much like that. But that's where we need all these things in this verse to work together so things don't fall down. I love how they talk about stretch your tent, enlarge your tent. We just think, oh, well, we need a bigger tent. I'm going to go down to Anaconda and I'm going to buy my new 10-man tent instead of the 8-man tent because then it's going to be bigger. How easy is that? And they're like nearly disposable, like couple of windy days and you can throw it away. These tents are nothing like that. These tents are made from black goat's wool. Can you imagine a black goat's wool tent? To actually enlarge this tent was not, let's go down and build a bigger tent, or let's just try and, you know, rework the inside so we can make a bit more space. When there was going to be growth and they needed some more space, these guys needed to plan ahead. They needed to start saving the clippings from all the goat's hair for at least a year to be able to add a new section to that tent. That's sacrifice. They had to sacrifice their hair for the whole year. And not only that, these tents would wear out. Apart from enlarging the tent, they would also have to continually replace parts of the tent. And as I looked into different commentaries, it said that it would, over about a 7-year period, that the whole tent would be replaced, but it would just continually get fixed up, molded, and continue to grow and enlarge. I want to just bring this back to about me and my family. Kel and I, we have 3 beautiful kids. And you know what, as a church, I see us as a family, and you know, we have little families within a larger family, and you know, it's just connect groups and then just the greater community. It's just awesome. But I just want to talk about my little family for a minute. And it was nearly 6 years ago, well, it was over 6 years, right, it's nearly six, but we decided, you know what, we're going to enlarge our family. We're going to plan to have our first kid. And Kel is super, super organized, super, super structured, loves everything in order. So this was a whole financial planning set up through to how we're going to be parents, how we're going to do A, B, and C with it. We're going to be like down to the T. They're going, no lollies for these kids. These kids are going to be healthy. And so we thought, you know, we'll do this. We'll get pregnant around this time, and then you'll be able to work up to this time. We'll be able to save X amount of dollars, and we'll be able to do this, this, and this. And all the ducks are going to line up perfectly. Well, they did, kind of. The excitement. It gets so exciting when you start to see growth within your family. And I can remember, I got up for work, and working in Sydney, I was up early. I was up at like 4:30, I'm on my way to work. I go to work, I come home, you know, I sit down, have dinner, watch a bit of TV. It gets to about 10 o'clock, Kel goes, oh, I think I feel something. I think it's happening. I'm excited. It's 10 o'clock at night. I've been up for, you know, 18 hours already. I better have a couple of hours sleep. You go to bed, it's first kid, and I'm like, I can't sleep. Kel thinks we're having this baby. I'm up. By 12 o'clock, we're going into the 12 o'clock at night, we're going into the hospital. And we're doing this, and then We're laboring. hardest time of my life. I was so tired. Can't imagine what it was like for Kel. So we went through that day. And it was overnight again, and then it was 6 p.m. the next night when Ryder was born. Is that right? No, not quite. I'm getting mixed up. Anyway, I was awake for around, 20 years. It was good. The writer came out. He got sick. And Kel's had no painkillers through the whole thing. And then she starts complaining about, I'm really hurting. And the doc says, you've just had a baby. Of course you're hurting. This goes on. And then at 10 o'clock at night, they continue to give her morphine and she needs rest. And I said, I'm going to go home and sleep. There's nothing I can do here. Ryder was in the little ICU thing because he swallowed a few things and got a bit sick. And I'm like, I'm going home. And I get home about 11 o'clock. I fall asleep. And then I get a phone call at about 2 o'clock and it's Kel on the phone. She's half drugged out pretty much. But she's saying, I'm just ringing to say they're taking me in for emergency surgery because I'm bleeding internally. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on now? So I kind of forget about the phone call and fall back asleep. She goes, don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do. They're taking me in now, so don't bother coming in. So all right, I'll go back to sleep. I set the alarm for pretty early because she then put me on to the doctor. She said she won't be able to talk to at least this time. And I fell back asleep, set my alarm, woke up and started driving to the hospital. And I'm on my way to the hospital. I'm thinking, this is our first child. We had it all planned out, Lord. Kel's had to go in for emergency surgery. Ryder is in the little cribby thing with getting oxygen and stuff like that. Like, what are you doing? This is not what enlarge looked like to me. There wasn't supposed to be any pain or heartache or challenges. It was just supposed to happen. And there's all these external pressures of, your parents are flying in, who's going to pick them up? And it was just a time where I just thought, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need your help. That was a really stretching time, I guess, for me, where I just thought, how am I ever going to get through it? The church that we're in up there rallied behind us, like all good churches do. And I make one phone call and then everything gets sorted. And I don't have to worry about anything apart from going to see my beautiful wife and my beautiful son. I must admit, we probably haven't had the best run with births because on our last effort with Jai, we ended up spending a lot more time in hospital as well. Some of you might know, sorry, some of you might not, but Jai's bowel ended up not being connected, and enlarging our family at that stage meant spending a few months in hospital, him having a couple operations, and then him now being a healthy boy, and we're just actually trying to toilet train him right now, which is a little bit difficult for people that have had that bowel operation because it just is really, really runny and just like, he's like, he knows, and then like you've got like no time at whatsoever to help him get there. But when you start to want to stretch and enlarge things in your life, there's going to be extra pressure put on. That's why where it says enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. When I was reading this verse, I thought, I need to ring James. I need to get an engineering perspective on this. How much pressure extra when you enlarge something by X amount? Why do you need that? And then James starts talking to me about triangles and like 45 degree angles and, you know, extra tension, the more tension that you have. And I'm just like, oh, well, forget that. That was a good idea. But maybe James can talk about that. In Matthew 12:13, Jesus is talking to a man. And we'll turn there. We're going to turn. This is a man with a withered hand that Jesus is there and the Pharisees are there and they're trying to catch Jesus out. They want to show that, you know, this guy's not who he says he is. And in Matthew 12, verse 13, it says, so we'll read from verse 11. He said to them, "If any of you have had a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched out and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. So this guy here had a withered hand. He was embarrassed, you know, back in those times, if you had a disability, you were shunned upon, you're an outcast. And this guy is probably trying to hide his withered hand. He's hiding it away. He doesn't want to show his disability, his imperfection, his physical imperfection. And then Jesus is all of a sudden, "Stretch out that hand, you know, get it out. Show everyone that hand." Can you imagine the pressure, the social pressure that this guy's feeling at this time when he's already an outcast and he's trying to hide his hand? And then Jesus said, "Stretch out your hand." And he puts it out and Jesus heals it. You know, when we start to stretch things out, when we start to enlarge things in our life, it's when God says, "You know what, I'm going to get on board with you. I'm going to actually jump on board. I'm going to help you strengthen that. I'm going to help you enlarge everything around you. I'm going to bring the extra strength that you need to hold things into place." When you're willing to step out and say, "You know what, I want to impact this community." James sent out an email this week about the 5,000 people just in our local area. You know, we need to enlarge we've got so much capacity, so much room to grow this place, to enlarge, to actually reach people to see this place full. And you know what, it's not about the numbers like Sean says. It's not about having 600 people here, but it is about the people, because people matter to Jesus. But we need to stretch out. We actually need to have the courage to bring what we've got and say, "You know what, use this, Lord." Lengthen the cords. In that second part, in verse 3, it goes on and reads, "For you will soon be bursting at the seams." This is Isaiah 54 again, verse 3. "For you will soon be bursting at the seams, and your descendants will possess the cities left behind them during the exile and rule over nations that took their lands." I was reading back through some old building fund material, and Lucas was there talking about expansion, inheritance, and revival in this place. As we enlarge, as we continue to step out. And we're not talking about building a bigger building. We're not talking about giving money just so we can do certain things. We're talking about us as a church going, we're going to sow into something because we believe that there's going to be revival. We believe that there's people out there that need to know about Jesus. Do you know what? We want to be a church that impacts our little families. You know, all the struggles that I have been through in actually numerically enlarging that, I sit back now and I think, "God, how awesome are you? I got a beautiful, beautiful wife. beautiful. When I'm beautiful. Three amazing kids that at times, look, they're a handful. They stretch me so much. Like, at times I think they've broken me. I'm gone. Yesterday when I was just putting the finishing touches on this, I come out to Kel and I said, these kids have broken me. I just don't know how I can do it anymore. Like I have a little bit of a laugh when it comes to parents and kids, and I have my little saying, you know, about how many children people can handle. And I said, I always tell people, you know, three, it's broken me. But it hasn't really, but we want to be able to impact our little families, the people immediate around us. We want to be able to impact our friends. We want to be able to impact the community. We want to be able to impact this city. We want to be able to impact this nation, this state. You know what? We're a body of believers that can impact not only the people that live in the same house as us, but the people that live next door, the people that we spend time with. As we join together, you know, we need to lengthen our reach through this building fund. We need to be able to increase the things that we're able to sow into. We need to be able to increase the money that we can give to people in need. We need to be able to increase the time that we spend with people. Do you know what? God's calling us through this building fund, not to just to be able to lay down our finances, but to be able to lay down ourselves, to be able to lengthen our reach in who we actually touch. Do you know what? Because when we start to stretch out, you know what? God's going to jump on board with us. Something else we need to do, the third thing in that verse, strengthen our stakes. Like James said, I'm going to try and decipher a little bit more, but once you increase the length of that rope and the tension, obviously the thing that holds that needs to be a little bit stronger. Do you know, as we start to reach out into this community a little bit more, we need to make sure that our foundation in Him is solid. We need to make sure that our trust in Him, our belief in Him, as we spend time with Him, as we read the Word, as we get to know Him more. Do you know, that's the stuff that strengthens this place, is our individual relationships with Him. You know, because God's called each and every one of us to be in a relationship with Him, to love Him, to spend time with Him. I love, you know, that relationship, you think of your best friend, that relationship you have with your physical best friend, whether that's your wife or if you're not married, that might be someone else. But you know what someone's going to do in every situation, don't you? Do you know, let's get into a place where we actually are best friends with Christ, that we would know how He would act in a situation. So that's how we're going to step out in how He would step out. In Joshua 24:15, it says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day. Whom will you serve? Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Ephraites or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I love this building fun time because it's actually a time when I can come together with my family and say, you know what, we're going to sow into this place. And when Kel and I come up with a figure, we normally come up with a weekly figure that we want to give for each person in our house, which is just not Kel and I, it's Kel, me, Ryder, Grace and Jai. And we think we're going to give that much each week for the five of us times by 52 weeks, and that's what we're going to give. Because this house is not just for Kel and I. This house is not just for Kel, I, Ryder, Grace and Jai. It's for everyone here. It's for everyone in this city. When I was doing research into these tents, I'm going to get the guys to come up. It talked about the tents. Hardly ever there was a new tent made. On the off chance a new tent was made, it was normally because a bride and groom were married and then that they were actually going to move away from the groom's parents, which hardly ever happened. Hardly ever happened. In Genesis 24, verse 67, we see that Sarah actually hands down her tent to her daughter-in-law. Because these tents weren't for one generation or two generations. These tents were family heirlooms. They were for the generations. Do you know what? This building, this church, this body of believers isn't just for this generation. We're sowing into the generations. We're sowing into the future of God's people. Long after we're gone from this earth, this place is still going to stand. There's still going to be people praising and honoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when we sow into this building fund, when we give of ourselves into this church, into this community, not only is it for the now, but it's for the future also. Whether we're as a see-through Hobart still in this actual physical building, or whether we've grown beyond this and sold and moved somewhere bigger, who knows? But the finances, the sowing has gone in from the start. I don't want to be someone that just thinks about me and my kids. I want to be someone that thinks about the generations. I want to leave something that lasts many, many generations. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm just going to ask everyone if they just close their eyes right now. Just for the privacy for the person next to you, you don't have to treat it as anything spiritual or anything. But if you're in this place today and you've never actually said, you know what, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. If you've never said, I want to get to know this Jesus person. I want to actually have a relationship with him. I want to step out and say, you know what, from this point on, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how hard that's going to be. I don't know what that's going to mean. But I just want to step out. I want to say, you know what? I want to have a relationship with this person called Jesus. If that's you right now, I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up quickly. Put it back down. If you want to say yes to Jesus this morning, if you want to say, you know what? No longer do I want to walk through this life by myself, but I want to come on board and have a relationship with him. If that's you, just put your hand up quickly. It's going to wait half a minute. If your heart's beating fast, if you're thinking, you know, what's this guy talking about? You know, I'm not quite sure what this is all about. If that's you, put your hand up. Just now, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to respond just in your seats as we go back in to some worship. if you want to commit to the Lord right now, that this building fund is something that you're going to sow into, is something that you're going to say, you know what, I want to leave an heirloom for the generations. I'm on board with this, Lord, because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If that's you, I want you to stand up right now. We're going to sing. We're going to worship and praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you want to step out this building fund and say, you know what, no longer I'm going to be held back just by a number that I put on a piece of paper because that's what I can afford. But if you want to hand over the reins to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you want to hand over the reins to Jesus and say, you know what, this is something that I want to sow into because there's generations going to be touched. There's generations going to be touched because you're enlarging your tent, Lord. Lord, use me as we extend our reach into this city, as we extend our reach into this state, Lord. I want you to touch, Lord, I want you to touch this state, Lord God, because you are the one that deserves it, Lord God. We want to honor you with our finances in this building fund. Lord, we want to honor you with our time and our commitment, Lord God, in everything we do. Lord, we thank you.
We make way.